Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today we welcome Brian Wagner into the Cigar Lounge. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
I am marvelous.
Good.
Brian, tell us a little bit. Let's get this rolling by telling us, what is it that you speak about? What is it that you do?
Well, I speak on leadership, and I help a leader to understand why they shouldn't quit. That's one of the sayings that I have, is leaders don't quit. I also, my tagline is to help leaders to embrace their own personal blindness to achieve a greater vision for their lives. Now, you may hear a little bit of my speech as well as it usually is. So I've lost some of that in a recent brain bleed that I've had, plus some other stuff going on in my brainstem that's caused me to have a little bit of a speech impediment, as well as numbness down the entire right side of my body. So I'm at home every day, and I am looking to one disability.
All right. But you're plowing forward. You're not quitting. You're going to deal with this, is what you teach people, and it's what you do.
Right.
What is it that what do you think is the biggest motivator when you say people can't quit and got to keep going? What's the biggest motivator you have that keeps you from stopping?
The biggest motivator that I have is myself. I grew up the youngest of 10 kids on a tomato farm in Northwest Ohio. My family is all hard workers. We live to work. Not to say that we don't have a good time, but we want to make sure that we're providing for our families, and that's what I want. I want to make sure that I'm providing for our family, and I'm doing the best that I can to be of value in the world. So for the last 6 months, I have not been that guy. So, that's when my disability started.
And when you say you're not that guy, you are, because you haven't quit on the world. You're right. Doing what you can with what you got right now, for sure. Let's back up a second. I want to ask, how did you end up in the speaking business, Brian? How did you get into this business?
It's a long story, but really it came from me being blind, having blindness, where I lost the use of my right eye back in 2011. So that was something that I experienced quite a while ago, obviously, 12 years ago.
Okay.
And knew that I wanted to be able to help other people, because I knew that I could speak. So I was a speaker before. I've been in Toastmasters. I've been in other areas. I smoked my high school graduation, for crying out loud.
Okay.
So I knew that I could speak in front of a large group of people, and I knew I could have an impact on them. So with my story of going blind, I knew that, that was something that I could use to help people to embrace their own personal blindness. So that's what I do.
Oh, all right.
Does that help?
This is what we like to know. I love to hear how people got into this, why they're here. Did you have any significant mentors or advisors that got you started off doing this?
Yeah.
Tell us about them.
So with NSA, there was a guy named David Crone, who was the guy that he came with me helped me write my speech. He came with me to my speeches. He recorded me. He gave me the opportunity to go back and look at myself and to make improvements. We actually went out to Philadelphia to a seminar out there together. We had a lot of experience from NSA, and he was very, very helpful to me to be able to get me to a point where I felt like I knew what I was doing. And then beyond that, a lot of other people at NSA have helped me a lot over the last few years.
And I always ask people what challenges they first had when they started, and I realize your message is one that is full of challenges.
Yeah.
But from a speaker level, what did you find to be the hardest thing about becoming a speaker?
The hardest thing about becoming a speaker was to find clients. So okay. I didn't walk in. I wasn't smart about the way I did it. So there are a lot of people out there that want to become speakers, and they think that just coming out and saying you're a speaker is the best thing to do. That's not to me. I don't think the best thing to do is to have your clients that you've had before, the people that know you, the people that like you, the people that trust you, and work with them to be able to serve them in whatever role it is. If you're a speaker for them at their conference, great. If you're a trainer for them, great. If you do other stuff with workshops, great. Whatever it is, just serve those people and see what happens.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know. And maybe none of us do. Some of us don't. What did you do before you were a speaker? What business were you in? What was your income? What did you do? Tell me.
I worked at IBM for a long time, for almost 10 years. Other companies like IBM, where I sold IT infrastructure.
Okay.
To companies, whether that be storage or servers or desktops, whatever the case may be. So I did that mostly in Columbus, Ohio, working with large clients. And that's okay. What I love to do.
So sales was always something in your background.
Right.
And something you were used to. So you, okay, aside from just building those personal relationships, what other steps did you take to build your speaking?
Besides building the personal relationships, what other skills did I build? The art of writing a speech was important, really the follow-up with clients and how important it is to maintain clients that you have. And I worked with Kevin McCarthy to get my first clients.
Oh, okay.
I worked with Rick Metzger, another guy you probably know, who helped me a lot. There are a lot of people that have been involved to help me build my clientele. So that's really what I would say is my answer for that.
Nice. Let me ask you this, as you go through this, if you could go back and give yourself advice when you were 16 years old that would change your life, what advice would you have given yourself as a teenager?
I would listen, for one. As a 16-year-old, I was an asshole. Assuming that I would listen,
yes. I would say, let's assume you'd listen.
Right. I would say my advice would be to read more, read and know more, because if you can do that, then you can have anything you want.
Okay. No, and that's the kind of stuff I ask, because some people, I don't know, I always wonder, like, if I look back, what I would say. So I ask people because I want to know. Now, when we started talking today, you had said you're going to be getting out of the business a little bit because of some stuff that's happening in your life.
Right.
Do you have any intention of going on and writing or doing anything like that at this point? Or do you have a plan to keep your message alive in any way?
Yeah, I would love to, but to keep my message alive. I mean, I did write a book after my first brain bleed where I lost my vision. The title of that book is Sometimes It Does Take a Brain Surgeon. Sometimes it does take a brain surgeon.
That's funny.
So that is my first book. My next book is certainly one that'll have to do with with what I'm going through right now, and you know how I've been able to persevere or get through some of the shit that I've really been dealing with right now. But I want to make sure that that is a story that I tell people, you know, in order to make sure they know that regardless of anything, they should be who they are. They should be unique. They should be not unique, but they should be, you know, they should be who they are. Be true to who you are. Because if you try to be somebody else or try to, you know, act like you know something you don't know, you're going to look like a shithead. And
you say that like you think there's people in our business that actually do that. Just kidding. We know there are. No, and I think that's great advice. I think people need to embrace themselves.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people always ask, how do you become a high-end speaker? I don't think the answer is copying everyone else. That just isn't going to work.
Right.
What do you think, through everything you've been, what is one character trait that you have that you think has kept it all together for you so you could move forward and continue to be successful?
Humor. Regardless of anything, I laugh at myself. I laugh at other people. I have a good time, regardless of anything that's going on. So humor is definitely that one thing that has allowed me to stay sane. And trust me, there have been days where I didn't feel sane. I felt like I was gonna, you know, do something stupid, but humor is what got me through that as well.
Bravo. Bravo. I love that. I'm wondering the difference, but we'll talk about that another day, the difference between humor and pure sarcasm. Because I'm sure I know you, and I know there's some sarcasm deep down in there.
A little bit.
If you could start, like, say today, or say as things go forward, you have an opportunity. Is there any other business you'd like to create or something else you would like to do?
I would love to have a business where I invited people in and call it a spa or whatever. It sounds kind of fruity, but have a place where people can go and to be themselves and to learn who they are and why it's so important for you to understand who you are and be who you are. I mean, I would say that that's probably the best business that I can think of doing. Because, you know, it's been hard for me to get there myself. I want to be able to help other people do the same thing.
Bravo. Bravo. Is there a career that you always wanted to go into that you think about doing from time to time?
Yeah, I mean, I was sold on careers that I did, but I don't think that they were right for me. I think the best career for me is somebody that just talks to and listens to people. Call me a social worker or whatever you want. It's a coach or whatever, but I think that my best influence comes from serving and working with other people, whether that's okay. a meal or whatever. So
got it. That's great. Let me ask you this, and I know we came back, and I guess I don't want to get too personal, but you're going to disappear.
Personal as you want.
Well, no, you're going to disappear for a little while because you're having some medical issues, correct?
Yeah, right.
So I guess facing that, there's two things. One is what you're going through now, what has that taught you that you wish everybody on this call could learn, everybody on this podcast? What do you think message you have to give to people?
I think people need to know that life sucks sometimes. And they know that, but they don't always know that there's another side. You know, there's always two sides to every story. There's always two sides to every argument. There's always two sides to every situation.
Right.
So understand that you got to go through the suck part to get to not always good, but better, the better part. So for me, I'm in the suck part right now.
Okay.
The better part is going to come. I'm not sure what that looks like. I don't know what it is, but I know it's coming.
You know it's coming. So your attitude, I guess what I'm hearing is, yeah, it's not a matter of good stuff's not happening unless you take care of the bad stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Awesome. You know, if anyone in the Cigar Peg is looking to reach out to you and catch up with you, are you open to communicating with them through
sure.
what you're going through?
Anytime. 614-946-1635.
There you go. Yeah. And there's your number. You just repeat it one more time since you're giving a phone number. That's harder.
614-946-1635.
There you go. So I look at this going, our chat with today was a little short, but I think it was powerful and people need to remember to fight onward. And that's what you're doing, Brian. I can commend you on that. And
thank you.
Anything else you want to say before we go?
Nope.
All right. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.